like your dancing, you know. Stop trying to change who you are. I also hope that you are giving thanks. I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station, available on podcasts, available on Alexa, available on Android, available on iOS. How you doing? I know we're in a different season right now. I know there's a big war going on in the Middle East, but regardless of that, I still do hope that you do remember that, like me, you are blessed and divinely favored, a magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem, and the answer to somebody's prayer. And this war does affect our health and happiness. Of course, this show, Her Health and Happiness, is dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. And I don't want to get too deep into it because I don't want to turn it into anything political, but you can't ignore what's going on. And when the world is at war, the question I just want to ask, or just the thought I want to plant, is what happens to women's bodies. So I suppose before we even get started, the most powerful position that we can be in right now is a position of prayer, an attitude of gratitude, and to think that the one thing we can do, you may think it doesn't do much, but trust me, God's ears are not blocked. He can hear what you say. Position of prayer that we can do for people. So, I do hope you guys are well, as well as can be expected. I mean, it is impossible to ignore what's going on in the Middle East. And whatever your political position, one thing we can't ignore, and this is my perspective of how I wanted to bring it into the show so that it was addressed, is that behind every headline there is a woman. There are women. And those women are worrying about their husbands. They're worrying about their sons. They're worrying about their brothers. They're worrying about their other children. They're worrying about their homes. They're worrying about displacement. They're worried about safety. That's what they're worrying about when they're caught up in the conflict. Over here, there and other countries where maybe their sons, their husbands, or their brothers may be called in to recruit to help. They'll be worried about their safety, but they'll also be worried about the financial implications. Over here, we're looking at the cost of, obviously, the cost of living. And I think to myself, you know, there's two costs of living. There's a cost of living in terms of our health and happiness. And then there's also the cost of living financially and what the implications are. And so while the bombs fall physically in one region, the stress hormones rise globally. And so I just wanted to kind of align it and just bring it back to that perspective as well, because I think that's really important. You know, it's not about geopolitics, it's about physiology, and it's about the emotional and hormonal toll conflict takes on women and how we protect ourselves, even from afar, and how we obviously offer protection to those near us. Now, I think you can hear a plane going over, actually, but it's a normal standard plane. So, when we live in prolonged uncertainty, the body shifts into survival mode. So, straight away, just the very essence of what's going on at the moment means that cortisol rises, adrenaline increases, so our progesterone, our sex hormone, drops. Ovulation may suppress, because if the body's in survival mode, what it will do, it will take the oxygen away from the reproductive organs and the digestive organs and send it to the muscles, because we need, because the body now thinks it needs to either stay, fight, flight, or even freeze. So sleep fragments, you know, you're not going to sleep very well, and digestion slows down. So it has a universal impact. The body does not differentiate between a missile siren, a 3 a.m. news alert, waiting for a call from a displaced or deployed child or, you know, or husband. It doesn't differentiate between the chronic social media exposure that actually shows distressing images and actually increases the nervous system registration of all of this as threats. So for us as females specifically, chronic stress can lead to cycle irregularity. So this is not just about women in midlife. This affects all women. So it can affect cycle irregularity. It can mean that women may have heavier periods or even have no periods altogether. It can increase pelvic tension, which can be a problem, especially for women in midlife. Fertility changes, anxiety spikes, libido reduction, inflammation flare-ups. These are all different experiences that women can go through, because that's just our natural biological reaction to what is going on. And so we have to really just be aware of that, maybe, and look at what are some little things that we can do to kind of protect our inner world so that our body stops registering the distress in a way that actually affects our physiology, our physicality, you know, our mental, emotional well-being. Because women in war zones, historically, they're still trying to hold their families together. They're still trying to make resources stretch. They have to ration resources. They're trying to manage their children's fear. They have their own fear, but they need to manage their children's fear. They're trying to suppress their own grief as they appear and stand strong. And they want to remain strong. So there's so many different things that I think, you know, this has not been spoken out about on the news, but this is really, really important for us to understand. But that suppressed grief lives in our body, and the long-term implications of this grief, of this war, without even thinking about the implication neurologically, hormonally, emotionally, you know, psychologically, physiologically, is autoimmune activation, which means autoimmune diseases. They come about much more prevalent in women, holding this stuff together, manifesting chronic pelvic pain, which kind of locks down our center. We hold the breath, so we either hyperventilate or we're, like I said, holding the breath, so then we can lead to hypertension, which adds to our pelvic tension. It takes us into a downward spiral of depression, and it's like trauma imprinting that gets locked into the body and can manifest as things like fibromyalgia, ME, multiple sclerosis, and many other autoimmune responses that actually then impact the quality of life long after the event is finished, because the body cannot differentiate between whether the event is actually happening in real time, because the emotions we've attached to the experiences embed themselves into our physicality. And because we struggle to sleep, it means those hormones that we release that actually help to flush out the waste in terms of memory waste as well as physical waste is not happening. And so, you know, that's what's happening for women inside the region. Women outside of the region who may have family and friends within the region. My friend just flew out for a cruise right into the region on Saturday. That ship arrived in Bahrain on Saturday, and that's right at the beginning. And she's still there now. And by God's grace, we are children of the Most High God. So they're not even allowing this. They know who we serve. And it's a totally different thing. If you don't believe, it's much harder. But when you believe, there's an inner peace. And God says, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. In this time, you'll have tribulations, but don't worry. And that may sound flippant to some people, but honestly, That can be the difference between managing that inner world I just explained and avoiding the repercussions of what happens with that inner world. But we've got women outside the region that have secondary trauma. They've got anticipatory grief. It's like, what's going to happen? What if, you know, you're thinking these things. And the news perpetuates this. You want to know on one hand, but it actually just perpetuates the fear. And fear cancels out faith. And it creates and develops a sense of helplessness and a sense of hopelessness and moral distress. And so the female nervous system is relational, but the rationale goes out the window. So we all feel this collectively. And I just want to say, for those women that are experiencing this, that are right in the middle of this, those women that are all around it, I just want to say that I pray that God's grace is sufficient to carry you through this season. And that, you know, I it's very hard to say what you really wish for. But what I wish for is for someone to take a couple of people's heads and knock them together. Because war is always about power and it's about ego. But that ego costs a lot of people a lot of stress, a lot of life, a lot of loss of life, and things that you can't undo. That doesn't make for a life moving forwards being that easy to overcome. And it just means that the long-term repercussion on hormonal balance for women, if it's not, then they don't have the tools to be able to redress that, can be absolutely significant. So I continue to pray for the women and the children and the people in the Middle East, and I continue to pray that someone will actually remove their ego and allow us to come back to ourselves. Okay, let's play a break, a trail, and we'll come back on the other side, because this is International Women's Month. And this Sunday, the 8th of March, is International Women's Day. And this Saturday, the 7th of March, I have two, not one, but two free events in celebration of Give to Gain.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We are back and I'm excited because when I started Unfiltered last year, I started Unfiltered on International Women's Day, March the 8th, which was a Saturday. So all my Unfiltered events run on a Saturday. So this year, it's the day before, so it's Saturday the 7th, and we're having Unfiltered in the evening. In the same place, Sacred Grounds, 54 Dean Street in Soho. Now, this one is actually special because it's free. It's free. In fact, both of them are free. But I started doing these free online masterclasses in January, and I've been asked to do one every 2 weeks, which means I've got one in the morning, online, so anywhere in the world you are, online, 10:30 till midday. We have the Fit and Fabulous After 50. And this week, we're looking at why putting yourself first isn't selfish. It's necessary. And this is really important, again, because even in this time we've just spoken about now, global uncertainty, we kind of, as I mentioned, we default to worrying for others. We hold space for others. We suppress our own needs. But what's really important is that we don't want our nervous system to collapse. We need to remain stable. So we stabilize our nervous system, then we can help stabilize other people. If we look after our hormones, then we can sustain our resilience. And if our body remains full and we don't allow it to become depleted, then our compassion is ready and available to be able to help. Our minds, we have more clarity. We have different ways in when we could think. But putting ourselves first isn't indulgence, it's infrastructure. So we really are going to look at different ways in which, you know, women, and I'm not talking about outside in, going to get your hair done, going to get your lashes done, going to have your eyebrows tinted, that's not putting yourself first. That's just, it's actually a more extravagant way of covering up what's going on the inside. It really hurts my heart when women say to me, I don't know what's going on with me. Or, you know, it's okay to outsource the indulgence of accessorizing our bodies from the outside in to look good. But we cannot afford to outsource what's going on the inside. That we have to know about. That we have to understand. That's really important. You know, even if you're a person that's going to go and, you know, I'm not for tummy tucks or any of those things. But you still need to know the implications of what you're doing. You should have an idea of how many fat cells the body is naturally predisposed to, have an idea of the contraindications, know the place you're going to go to, the certifications, the track record. You need to do that homework. So you research that so you understand what that means for your body and what that means for your health and your vitality. But if you just understand how your body works and you know what it means for your body and your health and vitality from a much more holistic perspective, and that really, really does help you. And that really makes such a difference. When I hear women going through and into and beyond the menopause and they're talking to me and telling me they've lost this sense of self and they don't understand what's going on with their body, which makes it very hard to be able to turn up professionally at work and still be as productive and as, you know, congruent and everything. It makes it much harder to be that person, to still have that, you know, excessive level of professionalism and productivity and performance. I get asked many times that you really do exude an extravagant amount of confidence. Where does that come from? Well, that comes because, one, I know whose I am, and I know for me I'm a child of God, so I really do have confidence in Him. You don't have to have the same confidence, and that's fine. This is just me, number one. But number two, I know the gifts He's put inside of me. And because of my own experiences and understanding how to navigate those experiences and transition through them and come out on the other side, I have that confidence. I know that some of the things that have happened to me, you know, the old me and those around me and the voices in my ears would have allowed me to attach shame to them. But since I no longer have that and recognize that that is not my position, and I know whose I am and who I am, I can stand in my own confident self. When I did the Good Thing Dinner, I could really tell, I just had this for a long time, I've said this, but it's very easy for me to encourage ladies to know that we're not in a season of waiting, we're in a season of preparation. I may not have 40 years of wedding anniversary bliss and 50 years of wedding anniversary bliss. but I can still have bliss and I can still have wedding anniversaries that really count for something. I know that in this, beyond this midlife season, when I'm going down the hill gracefully, extravagantly, energetically, you know, vibrantly, and actually being able to, you know, I'm in control of my time. Then I'm in control of my choices. And I'm in control of the experiences I have, where I'm not being beholden to be in a set place at a set time with someone else telling me what I can and cannot do. You know, I know the limits of my own abilities, but I also know that I have very little limitations because of what I have done to optimize my health and happiness. I hope that makes sense. And that's what I want to share with you there. So that's what we have in the morning from 10:30 to midday. So you can, again, you can email me pelvicsecrets@icloud. You can find the flyer on my Instagram, TikTok, X, LinkedIn, Facebook. You can find that. So TikTok, X, LinkedIn, @pelvicsecrets. So just think of pelvis with a C, your pelvic bone. Yeah, pelvic secrets. Obviously, I talk all things pelvic. And on LinkedIn, I'm Jenny Russell. So it's Jennifer minus the F-E-R is J-E-N-N-I. Jenny Russell, I am on LinkedIn. Jenny Russell, I am on Facebook. I'm Pelvic Floor Secrets on Facebook. And I need to get these posters updated onto my website, jennyrussell.com. So there's many ways to reach me. But you can also look on Eventbrite. If you type in Fit and Fabulous After 50, Pelvic Secrets, you'll find it. If you type in Unfiltered Soho, you'll find them, Saturday the 7th of March. So that's what I'm really looking forward to. And then in the evening, what's really nice is they have the theme for this month is Give to Gain. And really we're looking at, again, like how we give of ourselves, but how we give to ourselves and how other women actually benefit from what we have to give. And so this is what I'm really looking forward to being able to share with women, so that we really have an evening of fun fitness and finding your flow, a really nice light workout. So we're going to be able to do things. So, you know, even where we are right now, we need movement, we need laughter, we need connection, we need embodied strength. And we can use that even just to come together and just, you know, just say a little silent prayer for those who don't have that opportunity. So this Give to Gain could never be more poignant than any other time. So when you give your body that attention, that movement and that community, honestly, you'll gain so much more. The resilience, the clarity, the vitality, the sense of belonging and community, and working out even collectively, what can we do? That is a free event. They're all there, yeah? Join us. Join me for both. Join me for one. I'd love to have you there. So we're just going to do a recalibration even in the morning, and we're going to have a reconnection in the evening. So I'll give those details again at the end of the show, but let's play a trail. And then after the trail, I want to come back because I had a really, really, really lovely interview with a lady named Dr. Beryl, and it was really nice. We were really looking at IVF, and it's touched my heart so much so, because I'm actually working with a lady who's had that journey, and we're just working through the third trimester now. And, you know, the privilege to be able to do that, understanding the stories, being in that, it's when you're emotionally connected, it's a totally different experience. So we're going to play another trail, come back and listen to Dr. Beryl as we talk about fertility journeys and how they carry their own emotional intensity. So for those women that are hoping, waiting, trying to overcome disappointment and to get over the pressure of trying to get pregnant, I hope this one will really help you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Today I am blessed to be speaking with Dr. Beryl Yüksel, that's right, isn't it? Dr. Beryl Yüksel, obstetrics, gynecology and IVF specialist at Ventus IVF. And we are speaking about advancements in IVF and fertilization for women who are not getting pregnant naturally. So Beryl, welcome to Her Health and Happiness.
Well, hi, Jenny. I'd like to thank you and the UK Health Radio team for the kind invitation. It's a pleasure to be here and to discuss such an important topic.
Yeah, it really is. And actually, as I was saying, it was really exciting for me. You know, when the lovely Poppy came and said, would you be interested in this story? I was like, well, 100%, because I've just started working with a client myself who's also 45, who is actually pregnant via IVF. So we're actually, she's just in her third trimester now, and so I'm actually working with her for the next 3 months to prepare her for labour and delivery. So it's very, very exciting. So, yeah, so you're saying here that success rates for couples undergoing IVF may be improved as more clinics adopt artificial intelligence technologies. So tell me a bit more about that.
Well, that's a great, great question. Like in many other areas, and also in medicine, AI is gradually becoming part of everyday IVF practice. In our home center, we began integrating AI systems several years ago, shortly after they were introduced into the field. And currently, we use 5 different AI-based systems in our laboratory. These technologies support us at multiple stages, for example, in selecting the most suitable sperm for microinjection, assessing the oocyte quality, the egg quality, and particularly in embryo evaluation. And in embryo assessment in particular, artificial intelligence can analyze very subtle developmental patterns in far greater detail than we could in the past. So in practical terms, this means more consistent, data-informed decision-making and greater precision when selecting the embryo with the highest implantation and also pregnancy potential. But I would say, the real impact comes when AI is used appropriately alongside clinical expertise, high laboratory standards, and treatment that is truly tailored to the individual patient. When all these elements come together, that's when we can see a meaningful contribution. At the end of
the magic starts.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, technology enhances the process, but of course, the responsibility and final judgment always remain with the medical team.
Amen. So talk me through, because I think, like you said, you know, for women that are using IVF as a means of being able to become a mother. Talk me through the process, because it's not always women that struggle to get pregnant naturally. Maybe women that choose to actually go that route. So what are the qualifications? How do you qualify a woman for IVF? What's the process? And how does, you know, where does the role of AI come into that? And then how, and obviously the clinicians, how does that all come together?
Okay, first of all, who is suitable for an IVF treatment then? Let's begin with this. The clinical definition, actually, for infertility is cannot get pregnant for a year before the age of 35, and after the age of 35, cannot get pregnant at least for 6 months. So these are the patients who need IVF. But of course, there are some patients, as you have mentioned, that they do not need IVF, but they want IVF for specific reasons, like having genetic mutations in the family or having an abnormal embryo beforehand, and choosing this way to have a healthy embryo and have a healthy pregnancy at the end. So first, when they apply to us, we take the medical history from the patient, we evaluate the patient for her chances to get pregnant, and we want to hear what their expectations are. If they are suitable for the IVF treatment, then we assess some tests, some fertility tests from these patients, and then we proceed along.
So do you assess, when you're doing the assessment for patients, do you look at their stress profile as well?
Well, actually, that's a very important question. Stress is very important in IVF because it doesn't cause, actually, infertility itself. But what it can cause, you know, it's a personal journey. This IVF treatment is a deep personal journey. And sleep, stress levels, overall metabolic health play a role because the fertility is closely linked to hormonal regulation. So lifestyle optimization can enhance the natural fertility chance and may improve IVF results. So it is not the sole reason for infertility, but it is important to assess this factor too.
Yeah, it plays a big role, actually. I think it plays a bigger role than many people realize. And like you said, at the end of the day, if you've got a really high negative stress profile, the body's not going to try to deal with that level of stress and then try to procreate and reproduce at the same time. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of women don't realize. But also then, especially for women that struggle to get pregnant, it's a double-edged sword because it's very stressful if you have a round of IVF and it doesn't work. That's that. I remember before I got into this field in the late 80s, when you were just younger, so I remember working in British Telecom, and there was a lady there and she was doing IVF. So, of course, she would go for her treatment. Excuse me. She'd go for her treatment and you know, have the egg implanted. And so for that whole period, everyone was excited because she's going to get pregnant. And then it wouldn't work. And then the plummet in, you know, in her mood and everything, so you wouldn't know how to talk to her. But obviously back then, none of us understood the ramifications. But the hard thing was to go over that cycle over and over again. It's not just the stress on the female body, but it's actually the stress, I suppose, within the marriage and the relationship, because you're on this emotional roller coaster. And so you want to get pregnant, but you don't realize that by default you may be slowing the process just because of not being able to manage the hormones, which is why I asked you the question.
Actually, IVF can be emotionally demanding. There's no doubt about that. But one important question: how we can prepare the couples psychologically? And one of the most important things, I think, the couples can do set a realistic expectation from the beginning. IVF is a process, and sometimes it requires, as you said, more than one cycle. Understanding the possibility can reduce the shock of disappointment if things don't happen immediately. So open communication also important between the partners. It's so crucial. because people cope differently. One partner may want to talk about it constantly, while the other may prefer space. And recognizing and respecting those differences can prevent unnecessary tension. And also, it's also helpful to define the boundaries. For example, deciding in advance how many cycles they feel comfortable attempting, or how much information they want to share with friends and family. I think having a plan creates a sense of control. And finally, I often remind the couples that infertility is a shared medical challenge, not an individual failure. Protecting the relationship during treatment is just as important as protecting the biological outcome, I think.
Amen. I'm going to give you the top job in this country, even though we haven't got the sunshine all the time. I think you should have the top job. You've got a really, that explanation was really beautiful. And I think that's what people need to have. They need to, you know, you're helping them to manage their expectations. You're not telling them to, you know, worry that it may not work, but you're just getting them to understand that these little, because I think even I said to my friend, once I got pregnant and all my friends, we all started having babies. There were then friends around us who realized that they weren't having them at the same time. And it's like, how do you manage that? With that, when you've got, you know, you're pregnant, you're excited and someone else isn't. And then you find that this person's had a miscarriage and this person's had this and that they've had a stillbirth. There's so many, you know, getting pregnant. I've always said to my friends, the one thing I learned after getting pregnant and hearing these stories and being in this space as a pelvic floor specialist is that getting pregnant is one thing. Staying pregnant is a whole nother story. Delivering a healthy baby is another thing. Going through, I couldn't imagine anything. And I know two friends who went through full term and then delivered a stillborn child. So there is so many different variables that at the end of the day, I think once we as women are able to get into this position, to keep ourselves healthy, with healthy thoughts, understanding the thoughts, our emotion, you know, the things that we can do so we can actually get to that point there and bring this baby into life. And then once you've got this child, you've got to panic about the environment. So you're right, it's a shared journey and it's something we should do. But yeah, so let's just talk a bit more about why more patients looking overseas then for IVF?
Well, there may be several reasons for that, actually. But what we hear from our patients, I can tell you that some patients just face some long waiting times, funding limitations, and certain eligibility restrictions. And others are looking for more flexibility, especially when it comes to age, as you said, age limits and donor options maybe. And because of that, countries like Cyprus, I think, have become popular destinations. Patients are often attracted by the ability to start treatment without any waiting list, along with more accessible care and clinics that are experienced in working with international patients. But I think traveling abroad is a serious decision. So patients should ensure that the clinics follow strict regulatory standards and holds recognized laboratory accreditations, some of which are like CAP, College of American Pathologists, FDA, et cetera, which reflects adherence to high laboratory standards, I think. It's also equally important to confirm that documentation is handled properly, particularly if embryos or gametes are involved, and there is clear communication and structured follow-up care once the patient return home.
Excellent. So once a patient comes to you, they manage to get themselves pregnant, do they need to come back to Cyprus again a few times, or how does that follow-on treatment happen afterwards?
If they get pregnant, we just make online consultations afterwards if they need any help anytime. But before that, we usually provide online consultations again, because I think early assessment of fertility is very important. I mean, if there's a problem like waiting, they shouldn't wait, I think. They can get access to online consultations, for example, with us, if they want. And we can provide some insights so they can learn their own situation. they can have a plan for the future. And if it is reasonable to do an IVF cycle, the plan goes like this. We usually invite them to here for a just single visit, just one day visit. It can be at the weekends, depending on the job schedule. And when they come here, they have all the examinations, all the blood test results, everything in just in one day. They also have their individualized protocols that is just for them. I mean, you know, one size doesn't fit all. So we have to see the patients. We do not do the same protocol to every patient. So when they get the protocol, they can go back and the treatment can start in their own home country. We just want some blood tests during the treatment. It usually takes about 10 days, by the way. And we usually get to have at least one or two ultrasound examinations. And then during the egg retrieval stage, they can come here back for 2 or 3 days. And then we do the egg retrieval. And then again, they can go back. And whenever they want, they can come for the transfer. And 9 days after the transfer, we get the pregnancy test. And if it is positive, then we again tell them what to do in each step. When to have the blood test, when to have an ultrasound examination. And they all send these results to us also. And if there is anything abnormal, we are always here to help.
Fantastic. Yeah, it just sounds very, very comprehensive. Because I was thinking then, obviously, once... I suppose, really, because when I found out I was pregnant, and then you just go and follow through and find your antenatal clinic and do whatever. So there's no need for the collaboration is there because the system is set up to do it. But what the system isn't set up to do in this country, as you mentioned, because of the funding restrictions, the age restrictions, it's not set up for that. So how do people then find out more information and know where to go to find a clinic such as yours? Because I want them to, like you said, somewhere where they're going to go, to someone who has taken the time to learn it. You've got more than 15 years of clinical experience in assisted reproduction, which is fantastic. You're still nice and young and fresh. And it's great because, you know, do you say HACCP, University Faculty of Medicine? How do you say?
HACCP, yes.
And, you know, it's great that you specialize in this because I think really what, like I said, I fell into specializing in pelvic floor health by default, like over 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And even when I've tried to get women back then to be interested in pelvic floor health, I would have women say to me, I'll wait till it lets me down before I do something. And I'm just like, that makes absolutely no sense. But what is really beautiful now is obviously this generation, your generation, and the generation behind you and the one just in front, they're looking at their mothers who are my generation and seeing that they've got all these challenges with their pelvic floor, and they're like, I'm not having that. I'm not going to do that. And if they want to get pregnant and they have restrictions here, they have access to places like yours because they're taking control of their intimate health and they're doing it on their terms. And that's what's really important. So there is there's a big shift now, you know, but it's still being able to understand how the body works, how you can protect the body. And like I said, you know, this last phase of pregnancy for this lady, especially with IVF, is really important. Understanding how to relax the muscles and prepare for labor, not tighten the muscles. Understanding how to make sure that structurally and posturally you're in the best position, and then making sure that you're eating the right foods, getting the right rest so that you've got that hormonal regulation. You know how to relax the perineum, you know what to do so that in that last final stage, as that baby's coming, as you're bringing that new life into the world, you are not going to be costing yourself any real problems. This will be also for hopefully Nancy gets to listen to this, because I think the most important thing is obviously as we get older, our tissue starts to change. And so our recovery can be slightly longer than a younger mother.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that we can't recover. As long as we have the right protocols and the right things in place, we can actually recover the body really well. The body can bounce back, and then we can be more mature mothers, but can be just as vibrant as a mother who's in her 30s.
Yeah, Correct, correct, actually. And well, I would just want to emphasize this. I think early fertility assessment is very important, not to create fear, but to provide clarity. So I would encourage listeners to seek information from qualified reproductive specialists rather than relying solely on online forums or marketing materials. I think the first step should always be a consultation with a clinician who can review the medical history and provide realistic evidence-based guidance with a simple evaluation, including AMH testing and ultrasound scan. Basing hormonal profiling can give a very
What's
realistic.
AMS testing? AMH,
AMH is
MA.
a kind of blood test that shows you your ovarian reserve. So you will have a realistic picture, especially when you have specific red flags in your life. I mean, say you have pain during intercourse, you have pain during your periods. It may be a sign of endometriosis, for example, which is closely related to infertility. Or you may have abnormal cycles, irregular cycles, or you may have excessive hair growth, acne, and maybe insulin resistance, metabolic hormonal problems, which are closely related to polycystic ovarian syndrome. Or you may have very short periods, very short or prolonged cycles that may tell you that your ovarian reserve is beginning to decline. So these are red flags. You have to be aware of that. I don't want to create fear again, I'm telling you, but I want to make a plan. We want to make a plan because knowledge gives you options, actually.
And it
So,
empowers you.
yeah. And if you delay this, you may just lose your options. This is what we do not want at the end. The right information from the right professional at the right time can make the difference. So, in our own practice, we offer structured online consultations for patients who seek to have individualized evidence-based guidance. So, for listeners who feel they would benefit from a personalized assessment, this can be a practical and supportive starting point, I think. Take
Fantastic.
this
So,
with you.
for sure, because I mean, as a Czech professional, we always say if you're not assessing, you're guessing, and your health should be too important to you for someone to guess. And as I said, there was an article in the Sunday Times last week saying that pelvic floor health is now the new trend in 2026. And yeah, there's a video and they're doing Kegels, and it's at like 24 million views. That's just one thing. But the things that affect the pelvic floor are far-reaching. And so what happens, you go off at a trend, now it can be influencized and monetized and aestheticized and whatever else. It's suddenly become a trend, right? But it's something you're born with. And the things that you mentioned, the different things that can affect it, are really important. So now we're going down, so people are following the trend, but they're not actually following the information, because not all the information is there, because not all of it can be monetized. So the only the bits that can be monetized are the bits that are out there. But if someone's got these hormonal considerations, I'm just doing some research now, and I'm just getting ready to write an article on how women in menopause and postmenopause can still have clitoral orgasms, but actually the vaginal side is totally different. And that's because they have to understand the differences between, it may be in one's position, in one organ, but actually they operate completely separately. So we need to understand what that is about, and that's creating a lot of issues for women there. So this is what I'm saying. This information is important. So I love the way you are preparing women and getting them that information, so that now I have the information, what choices do I have? Without the information, I don't know what I'm choosing. So where can people go? Because I would love them to come to you. Where can people go to find you out there in sunny Cyprus? Where can people go to find you and get more information?
We have a website actually, www.ventusivf.com, VENTUS, Ventus IVF. They can directly
Ventus.
reach out from there. And we can make the consultations directly.
Absolutely fantastic. Are you on? You're not on social. You on social media as well?
Yeah, of course.
What are you on social media? On
We're on
Instagram?
Facebook and Instagram, both as Ventus IVF. They can also reach out from there too.
Gosh, what a fully loaded show that was today. I really do hope that something touched you, something resonated. So, you know, if you are a lady in your over 40s and you are thinking about IVF, there are different avenues that you can take. And so Ventus, Victor Echo November, Tango Uniform Sierra, look them up and you can get more information. I do really hope to see you at the Fit and Fabulous After 50, Why Putting Yourself First Isn't Selfish, It's Necessary, online, free, at Pelvic Secrets. You find me on social media, Instagram, TikTok, X, or Jenny Russell, J-E-N-N-I, Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L. Find me there so that we're able to come together and to share. And then in the evening, if you come out Leicester Square, walk through Chinatown onto Charing Cross Road, we're right there at the top end of Dean Street, just past Firth Street. So whatever you've listened to, wherever you've been listening from, today, tonight, whatever time, if your heart feels heavy, I just want you to take a deep breath. If your body feels tense, just place your feet on the ground, ground yourself. If you're worried, limit the late night scrolling because it will not help you improve your sleep quality. You cannot control global events, but you can regulate your nervous system. And that's not selfish, that is necessary. So I do hope you found this show useful. And I do. I look forward to seeing many of you this weekend, International Women's Day. Yeah, let's celebrate together. All right, so until next week, in health and happiness, stay blessed, stay safe, stay hopeful, stay safe. Bye-bye.